Have your Bibles, you may turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I have passed out a pamphlet that basically is what we're going to go through today. This is not going to be a sermon, but more or less I'd like for us to go through this pamphlet of this afternoon. Of course, we submitted Brother Billy Lillis' name last week to the congregation to be considered for the work of deacon. And when we approached Billy about this, he did express the desire, and he did express his willingness to serve in this capacity. So Terry and I want to encourage you to think about this and pray about this as we move forward in this process, that through our work together that much good can be done at this congregation for the Lord. Nothing barring this event. It will happen next Sunday morning in our morning worship service, and we will make Billy an official part of the leadership of this congregation. And I'm looking forward to working with him, and I know in a very fine way. Because we're doing this, I thought it would be good for us to just refresh ourselves on the work of a deacon in the church. It's been quite a while since we've done a study on the eldership and the deaconship of the church. So I thought it would be good for us to do a little refresher course on the deacon and his work, his qualifications, and as we make this consideration. So, the word deacon. It is a scriptural word that comes from the Greek word diakonos. It is used basically to exemplify a master-servant relationship or the work of an attendant or the work of a minister. The Greek Strong's dictionary number for this word deacon in the scriptures is number 1249. If you have a Strong's, I don't know what that was. If you have a Strong's dictionary, it will give you an exact definition of the word deacon, the times it is used in the scripture, and of course we're going to go over most of that in this lesson. It is used to denote three different words in the scripture. It is the word diakonos, as we have it, is used to describe minister, servant, and deacon. Now, other Greek words define the word of servant and the word of minister. And you will find in other passages of Scripture where these two words are used, the word diakonos is not used. It is another word that is used instead. So the Greek word diakonos is separate and apart from other words describing minister and servant. It does, however, happen to be the only word that is used in the word for deacon as we have it in Scripture today. The word deacon is used really more than in one sense. It's used basically in two senses throughout the Scripture. It is used in a general sense to designate any Christian, as we are all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an example of that found in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, where it says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." And the word servant that is used here is the Strong's 1249 word diakonos. So here we find that word used to describe Christians in general. It is also used, in John 12:26, where Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. For where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now again, the word servant as used here is Strong's 1249, the Greek word diakonos, for the same word of deacon. The second sense that this word is used in is to signify a special group of people who meet certain qualifications that are used for a special purpose, a special work, a special labor within the local congregation. Now, the actual word deacon appears two different ways in the New Testament. It is often mentioned specific names of people that were labeled as deacons in the New Testament church. We have three examples of this. The first man, his name was Tychicus. We find reference of this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, and Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He's actually mentioned twice in the Scriptures, and in both cases, Paul had sent him into these particular congregations to give information to them about the Christians at other places and to aid them in their work. So Tychicus, his purpose was basically an information gatherer and a deliverer of information to the churches at Ephesus and at Colossae. The second person that is labeled, his name is Epaphras. He was mentioned in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. He was also sent to Colossae by the Apostle Paul. He was described as a faithful minister. Now again, if you look up the word minister as used in the New Testament, it is the Greek word diakonos, which is the same word for deacon. So Tychicus and Epaphras was both described as deacons using diakonos word in the Greek language. The third time the word deacon is used, it is used to describe a lady. Her name is Phoebe. She has been labeled as a deaconess in the church. We find reference to this in Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. Now, the King James Version of the Bible refers to her as a servant. The New King James refers to her as a servant. The NIV and the New Revised Standard Version refers to her as a deacon. And again, the Strong's word for deacon, 1249, diakonos, is used in describing Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Rome. Now, these are the only three instances where the word deacon is used to label a person as being a deacon of the church. Now, let me throw something in that's not in your outline. Again, they are the only three. The question is raised, what about the seven men who gave aid to the Grecian widows in Acts chapter 6? These men, according to New Testament Scripture, going back to the Greek language, were not labeled as deacons. The Greek word diakonos is not used in Acts chapter 6 to describe the seven men who were serving as deacons. Instead, the Greek word onair, which is Strong's word 444, was described to use for these seven men. And this particular Greek word is translated fellow, man, sir, and husband, not deacon. So, and also the qualifications of the men in Acts chapter 6 are different from the qualifications that were given for the deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which we're going to go into in just a moment. So, in Acts chapter 6, they were to be men of good reputation. They were to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were to be filled with wisdom. None of the qualifications mentioned by Paul and Timothy are given to these seven men. One of the reasons for that, these seven men were chosen to do this work long before Paul wrote the definitions of a deacon. So, we cannot scripturally, with authority, label these seven men as deacons of the church, even though it is widely taught throughout the brotherhood that that's exactly what they were. Scriptures do not tell us that they were deacons. So, just a little thing I wanted to throw in so you would understand that we can't look at this example with scriptural authority for deaconship. Now, any congregation, the Lord's work, needs deacons. Local congregations in the first century were spoken of as having them, and for that reason alone, we need to be concerned with following the pattern of Scripture given to us in the leadership of the church. There are many works that deacons often do, or there are really works that elders do, other members do, that could be delegated to the deacons. Deacons are appointed over specific works, given specific responsibilities, and allowed to work under the supervision of the eldership to get the work done. They never are independent from the guidance of the eldership of the church, but they work through the eldership to carry out a specific task. It is clear that elders and deacons complement each other in Scripture. As we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And of course, bishop is another word for elder, as we have it in Scripture. So we see the two articles working close together. These men work together for the common cause of Christ. A very important position to have. Now, very quickly, let's look at the qualifications for the deacon in the church. There are qualifications. I think there are scriptural qualifications, of course, and we can read them. And there are practical qualifications that need to be met as well. So let's look at some of these. Deacon qualifications are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. If you have your Bibles there, I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to give you specific verses that mention specific things that you can make reference to as we go through this. First of all, there are positive and negative qualifications for the deacon work, or for the deacon himself. So let's first of all look at the positive qualifications of the deacon. In verse 8, we find that the deacon must be reverent. The deacon must be a spiritual man who is first and foremost interested in serving God and in worshiping God. The deacon must hold the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. We read this in verse 9. Deacons should be sincere in their faith. There should be nothing in their lives that would cause them to have a guilty conscience for the position that they hold. We read in verse 10 that the deacon should be proven. They must have already demonstrated their ability, their faith, and their willingness to serve. And this willingness to serve and this ability should continue on as they serve in this capacity. Also, in verse 10, we find that the deacon should be found blameless. Like the elders, there is to be nothing in their lives that would bring reproach upon the church. Now, let me say this. Being blameless does not mean that we ignore problems, does not mean that he tries to cover up his mistakes, but that he has a heart and a life that is going to make proper correction when needed and proper living as necessitated by the Bible. Now, one other thing I want to make note here. Being blameless does not mean being perfect. Billy Lillis is a very fine man, but he's not perfect. You know, Jack Lewis has been serving as a deacon here for many, many years. And he's done a wonderful job over the years. But he, like Billy, is not perfect. And the two elders that have made this suggestion to bring Billy into the deaconship are not perfect either. You see, we are imperfect people in a perfect church given to us by God. But our work is imperfect because we are imperfect. So don't look for a perfect eldership, a perfect deaconship at this congregation, because it doesn't exist. But even though we can't be perfect, we can be blameless. And when we make mistakes, and we all make mistakes, we can correct them and we can move on. Verse 12, deacons are to be the husband of one wife. And along with that, he must demonstrate his Christian life in his family. Deacons must rule his house and children well. He must have demonstrated the ability to take care of his family and guiding them in the way that they should live, because he will play a vital part in directing the lives of people here at the congregation. Now for the negative qualifications. He is not to be double-tongued. What that means is not to be Phariseistic, to say one thing and mean something else. He must be honest. His word must be his bond. He is not to be given to much wine. He should not be a drunkard. We don't need people displaying that type of activity within the church. He is not to be greedy for money. He should never be covetous on worldly things, money and wealth. So these are the qualifications, positive and negative, for the man who seeks this position and can do this work. There are also qualifications for the deacon's wives. Verse 11, they must be reverent. The wife of a deacon must be spiritually minded, just as her husband is. This will enable them to complement one another as they work together, because the wife will have a great part in his work as a deacon, just as my wife has a great part in my work here as an elder and as a minister. They are not to be slanderers. They must watch their tongues. The tongue, as we all know, can cause tremendous damage in the church. And it can ruin a person's reputation. It can ruin his life as a Christian. So the tongue must be controlled. They are to be temperate. Keep their bodies under control. Not allow habits, practices to control them. And they are to be faithful in all things. And of course, this just denotes a general faithful Christian life, which is something that we all should have in our lives as well. So when you look at the qualifications of one who is moving into an office such as this, it's a lot more than just saying you're a deacon. There are some things that you must do. There are works that you must achieve. There are goals that you must have to work for the kingdom. I want to suggest that there are also some practical qualifications that go in with this particular position. Qualifications that would be implied from Scripture, and qualifications that would come from the above things that we just talked about. Number one, a deacon must be cooperative. Have you ever dealt with people who will not cooperate with you? And it doesn't matter what you say, what you do, they're going to be at odds with you regardless. You can't have that in leadership, in any kind of leadership, particularly in the leadership of the church. So, the deacon needs to be cooperative, as the elders need to be cooperative. And they will be able to work with the elders and with other deacons and with the membership to see to it that a certain task get done. Deacons need to be able to keep a confidence on the things that are discussed. Now, I want to tell you right up front, we don't keep secrets at Dawson Road. As far as the work of this church goes, we let you know everything that we do. We keep a record of it, and we post this record in the library on the bulletin board, and it's easy for anyone to walk in and see. We do not keep secrets at this church. But there are times when individuals come into our office seeking help, spiritual help, and we do not walk out of those doors and broadcast things like that. And Billy will have that to happen to him just as we have. And there are times that we need to keep confidence with those who we deal with in a personal way. Deacons need to be dedicated. The church needs to come first in their lives. You know, Jesus told us all, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We must put God first in our lives. It must be the first and foremost in everything that we do, every decision that we make, every thought that we have. God must be placed first. And His kingdom must be placed first as well. Like the elders, it should never be what I want. It should be what is best for the church. And then finally, the deacons need to be honored. The Apostle Paul addressed this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said that those who serve well as deacons do two things. First, they obtain for themselves a good standing. In other words, they receive honor from their brethren for their faithfulness and for their willingness to work and for their willingness to achieve the job that has been given to them. And the second thing is they obtain a great boldness in the faith. Billy is going to find that as he moves into this position, And as he works in this position, that his faith is going to grow. He is going to get a better understanding of what the work of the church is. Now, we have placed in Billy's responsibility the building and grounds. That is not all that Billy is going to have a part in, though. We will pull from Billy in every aspect of the work of this church, just as we have done with Jack for over the years. They are a part of every part of the work of this church. He is just going to designate his time and most of his time checking on one particular thing. But he will be a part of all of it. Because we are a part of all of it. We all work together for the good of this church and for the fact that we can move forward. So I look for Billy to become stronger. I look for all of us to become stronger as we work together as Christians. So let's give honor to those who we need to honor. You know, that's what Paul told the Romans in Romans 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. There's a lot to be said for the work of a deacon. You know, much of the deacon's work at a congregation goes unknown to the congregation. And they're really never aware of all the things that go on here. I know I couldn't begin to create a list of the things that Jack has done over this last 17 years that we've worked with him. And his work that most people don't even know about. But we need to appreciate it. We need to appreciate the effort. We need to appreciate the results. And we need to appreciate men who take on responsibility such as this. Let's always make an honest effort to thank those who do the work at this congregation, whether you're an elder or a deacon or just a worker in this congregation. Let's give them the honor that they are due because they work so hard to advance the cause of Christ. Every Christian should have the characteristics that I have mentioned here this afternoon. We all should have in us the desire for church growth. We should all have within us the desire to do the right thing for God, to live for God, to hold His name high, and to put Him first in our lives. If you see today that you are not living as close to God as you should, then you need to repent of that and to make God number one in your life again. And today, if you're not a Christian, you can begin a life that is so far better than what you have had in the past. Because you have a God that stands by you, a God that loves you, a God that offers you mercy, a God that offers you forgiveness, if you will give your life to Him. So today, think about the things that we have discussed as we bring new leadership into the church. And think about your own role in the church and what you do for God in your life. And if it's not where it needs to be, make it right. Do it now while we stand and sing.